There has been a cloud of mystery surrounding the kidnapping of Shiraz Mohammed, a resident of Lanesia South. It's now quite a few months that have passed where we haven't had clear detail. Now, the owner of Abstergo Solutions, Tim Fleck, has taken himself that he's going to look into this particular matter. Tim joins us on the line. Tim, good morning to you and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Tim, now, how did you take up, or how did you end up, you know, with the idea that you're going to take the baton on to investigate what had happened to Shiraz Mohammed in Syria?
Well, basically, I've always worked with the media in my career, and I found the media to be some of the best in the world, especially South African journalists in particular. And many, I've grown close to many journalists, and I learned their day-to-day work and what they do and how they do it, and it's a very admirable career. So, with that, having a soft spot for journalists in South Africa, when I heard that one of ours was missing, I decided that I needed to do something about it, so that we didn't end up with the same situation as what happened to other South Africans that had been kidnapped previously.
Now, have you been surprised that, you know, with the current demographics that we have within our country, perhaps considering that Shiraz Mohammed was from the Muslim community, that no one had taken up from this particular community?
I wouldn't say I would be surprised about that, because a lot of people wouldn't really know. Even government, for example, wouldn't even know where to begin. I mean, where do you begin a search for someone on the other side of the world in a war-torn country where you've got extremism and you've got different political ideologies fighting against each other? I think it's difficult for most people to even comprehend where to start with that sort of thing. So I understand that there would be people, particularly within the Muslim community, that wouldn't know where to begin. It could be possible that there are some within the community that have been doing their best to try and get information or put pressure on other people to get information. So yeah.
Now, how far did your investigation go as such? Can you share with us your findings at this point?
My investigation got as far as having dealt with Fikri Shaban.
Yes.
And from what I understand, he was recently in South Africa. A lot of what he has to say is cause for concern. Either that he's trying to cause trouble for Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman and Gift of the Givers, or that he may be telling the truth. We don't know, because he's never been brought in for questioning regarding the disappearance. From what I do know is he was the one that was responsible for Shiraz going over to Syria. So I think he knows, or may know, a lot more than what's being sort of put out in the media.
So as you indicate that, you know, that we don't know whether he's saying is true or not, would you rule out the possibility that he may just be a disgruntled former employee of the Gift of the Givers?
It's very possible that could be the case. I just find it very strange that at the same time that he was being disciplined for causing division in the hospital in Darkush, Shiraz was the man that went over at the same time as that was happening, and just after he disappeared, Mr. Shaban was let go from Gift of the Givers. So that sort of situation that was created there leaves a lot of speculation to be made, and unfortunately speculation is all that can be done. As far as my personal investigation has gone, I've got people on the ground in the area, in the Idlib province, that are constantly asking questions and looking out for prisoners and to see if there's anyone of South African nationality that they know of. I've actually made contact with one of the South African fighters that's joined HTS there, Hayat al-Sham, in Syria. And when I spoke to him, he said to me he would know if there was a South African prisoner, because there were very few South Africans in that area at that time. Another possibility is that I've spoken to someone who investigates university students that have been kidnapped in Turkey and taken over the borders of Turkey in suspected terrorist activities. And he's also got an eye out on the prisoners just to see if Shiraz is there.
You've met with Shiraz's family. Has this interaction galvanized your will to keep trying to find the truth?
I actually haven't met with Shiraz's family. I decided very early on that because of the situation surrounding it, and because of a lot of the speculation from government. At one stage, there was speculation, I believe, from government that they believed that Shiraz had joined what they deemed a terrorist organization, and that kind of questioning kind of puts a family. It could upset a family. I don't know if the family is aware of that or had heard of that sort of stuff, but all these questions and speculations that the family has obviously had to face with government and with obviously people trying to get information out of them to see what is happening, and the unfortunate thing in South Africa is that automatically if you're a Muslim man and you go to Syria and or something like that, it's automatically suspected that, oh, now you've joined Islamic State or something like that, because people are very ignorant in their views, and I didn't want to add to the family's fear or insecurities regarding his disappearance, and I've got a wide enough network as it is that would be able to provide answers with me. I have been in contact with Dr. Suleiman and Dr. Ahmad Gandur in Syria. So and obviously a lot of my own private guys that aren't related to anything at the hospital at all. So yes.
So where are you from here now? Will you continue with your investigation?
I continue almost on a daily basis. Every 2 to 3 days, I put aside some time to check in with sources, to check in with people, in the hopes that Shiraz could maybe get hold of his Facebook account. Who knows, wherever he is, he may have access to internet, or he may be allowed to see certain things. So I've sent him a few private messages to his Facebook page saying that he needs to remain calm, that there are people that are looking for him, and there are people that care that he comes home safely. One of the things that I'm trying to organize, and I would like to organize, is that because there hasn't been a ransom asked for, there's been no organizations that claims that they've taken him, I want to try and lobby business and stuff like that to try and raise funds in the form of a reward, be it Gift of the Givers, be it Absa Bank, be it an Islamic bank, be it any organization that can put forward money that we can say, here's a substantial reward for information that leads to the finding and bringing home of Shiraz Mohammed. If that information can bring him home, that money is yours. No questions asked whatsoever. Yes. And I think that's one of the ways forward.
Yes, certainly. That would, sort of lure people into, get more interest from that particular side, that people may become more interested in this story. We wish you well and continue with the great work, and we hope that it all will come to fruition with the return of Shiraz to South Africa. Thank you for sharing, your own details and all the facts that you've been able to gather with us. We appreciate your time on Radio Islam.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure being on this.
We'll continue chatting in the coming days, and when there's any developments, we certainly hope to pick up with that with you.
No, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim. Go well. That is Tim Flacht, who's now undertaken the work of doing investigations into the disappearance of Shiraz Mohammed and trying to find those answers that we all so desperately want.